once again, let me welcome you all in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and ask that you give Jerry your prayers and your virtual smiles as he comes before us to present us the things that the Lord has put on his heart, and that he would be, the Lord would be with us and in our ears, that we would be able to hear and understand what the Lord has for us. And with that, I'll turn this over to my brother, both in this life and in Gospel Bond, Jerry Chase.
Thank you, Benny. And good morning to everybody. God bless you wherever you are, and bring us together by the power of His Holy Spirit. I do have a few things on my heart this morning, and I would truly ask for an interest in your prayers, that the Lord would help me to express what He desires to come to each of us, and that also that He would give me the strength and guide my mind. I will say that the last 3 or 4 weeks, our line has gotten cut off on the call around 11:40. I don't know if it'll happen this week. We don't know why it happens. If it happens, don't despair. I'll just dial right back in and we'll proceed. So hang in there with me. I want to say what a privilege it is for me to be able to be with you in this fashion, and what a privilege it is for me to know each of you. It was great a few weeks ago to get to visit with Nina and Karen and Randy down in Florida, and get to know them, because I really hadn't, I didn't know what they looked like, and it is so neat to be able to picture each of you in my mind and in my heart, and feel that companionship. And thank you for the hospitality of your home also. I also got to visit Debbie while I was down there. I'd like to talk truly about our privileges. I was privileged to be able to grow up around the Temple Lot Local in Independence, Missouri. Lived there for literally 41 years before I was transferred out here to Ohio. Have a good, strong family out here, and we've met together as a family the whole time we've been out here. We've also been privileged to meet with others that live around out here, and even with neighbors. But I would like to, almost in response to something my granddad used to say, my granddad, James Maynard Case. One of the things he used to say so often in my memory, he'd talk about that we are truly living so far beneath our privileges. And I don't really take that as some kind of a complaint or an accusation, or to degrade us. It's just, it is our human nature. We tend to be guided by our own selves and human ways. And God offers us and blesses us with so much. And really what I want to do today is just take just a few minutes of your time, and I hope that I can really have your attention for those few minutes to just remind us of a few of those privileges which are great. I'm going to first talk about one great privilege that I think sometimes we just don't talk about real often. That's the fact that, you know, we read in our Sunday school a few weeks ago, and I think we've even heard it a couple times in sermons. It talks about being perfect, even as our Father in heaven is perfect. And really the piece of that I want to kind of direct our attention to is that we don't have a moving target there. That God is the same yesterday and today and forever. I even heard in a sermon years ago on the temple lot from one of our ministry, he was talking to somebody and they were talking about a good response to when somebody says, "Hey, how are you doing today?" And the response was Hebrews 13:8. I'm turning there real quick, and you can too, to see what that response is. Hebrews 13:8, it says, "Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever." And I think of what kind of a privilege it is that if you actually get into reading your book sometimes and just begin to, as you realize the things that took place there and how much God blessed the people, you begin to realize what it is that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And those blessings, those miracles that it talks about throughout the Bible, throughout the Book of Mormon, those things have not drawn away from us in any way. Those things have not been done away. They are still a privilege within our life. I'd like to emphasize it a little bit more, read a little bit more about it by reading out of 1 Nephi. And I'm going to read 1 Nephi, the third chapter, and I'm going to start with the 26th verse. This is on page 26 in my Book of Mormon. And here, Lehi has had a vision, and he brought his family together and he described what he learned in that vision, the things that he saw and the things that he understood out of that vision. And Nephi, his son, as he dwelt on these thoughts of the vision which his father saw, he wanted to see these things. He wanted to know about them. He wanted to understand what they meant. And so, wanting to know these things is kind of the background where I'm going to start to read here. I'm going to start reading with verse 26. It says, "And it came to pass that I, Nephi, was desirous also that I might see and hear and know of these things by the power of the Holy Ghost, which is the gift of God unto all who diligently seek Him, as well in times of old, as in the time that he should manifest himself unto the children of men. For he is the same, yesterday, today, and forever. And the way is prepared for all men from the foundation of the world, if it so be that they repent and come unto him. For he that diligently seeketh shall find, and the mysteries of God shall be unfolded unto him by the power of the Holy Ghost, as well in this time as in times of old, and as well in times of old as in times to come. Wherefore the course of the Lord is one eternal round." And I really would emphasize a couple words that I read there and have you think about the meaning of that. It says, and the way is prepared for all men from the foundation of the world, that if it so be that they repent and come unto him. And it says that that it's the gift of God unto all those who diligently seek him. And it's the same for all. In times of old, as it is in the times we live in now, as it will continue to be in the future. And as I read these things, I want you to consider with delight what a privilege it is that God is the same, that he hasn't changed, that these things are still available to us today. There was a time in my life that I felt like in my heart and my mind I was a bit adrift, and in seeking to center myself back in on God, I started reading, and I read these words, and it sunk deep into my heart, and I began to have a desire to know concerning many things. And just to make a long story short, I began to study and I began to pray. And by and by, the Lord did actually give me a vision where I did get to see many things. And it was my privilege to get the answers to the things that I was seeking at that time by the gift and power of the Holy Ghost. And so I say that by way of a testimony that it is completely true, that God has not changed, and that if you do diligently seek, you will find. Let me continue on this little discussion of just a few things I want to remind you of about your privileges as a follower of God. The next piece I really want to talk about is, I guess the best I could say it is, let me say it two different ways. It has to do with aligning to his will. And the other way I'd say it is to align with his pleasure. I used some different words there. The first time I said align to his will. And I believe that that's a right way to say it. But it also it maybe it feels a little commanding and doesn't meet all of what's involved in this. The reason I say align with his pleasure, instead of saying to, I said with. Align with his pleasure. Aligning with God isn't a hardship. It's a privilege. It's a gift. And I want to spend just a few minutes talking about it, and I'm going to read a couple different places, and if you want to write it down, I'm going to read out of Isaiah 58. I'll probably read about verses 6 to 14. I'm also going to read out of Philippians, the second chapter. And I don't know how much of it I'll read. I may read as much as the first through the 18th verses. These readings are the message they deliver is almost blended in a way that I wish I could read them simultaneously, but there's not really a way to do that. So I'll read one at a time. I'm going to start with Isaiah 58, and I'll start with verse 6. Give you a couple minutes to find it there if you can in your books. So Isaiah 58, and I'm going to start reading with the sixth verse. Is not this the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bands of wickedness? To undo the heavy burdens? To let the oppressed go free? And that ye may break every yoke? Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, and that thou bring the poor that are cast out to thy house? When thou seest the naked, that thou cover him, and that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh? And I'm going to stop right there, because I guess, growing up as a child, I always thought of a fast as simply not eating. And I had kind of a closed door idea of what a fast was also, that you dedicate the time and you stop eating and you close out all the rest of the world, so you're by yourself and you pray. That's what I thought a fast was. And these two verses contradict that thinking in so many ways. In these two verses, it's talking about engaging in things. It's talking about not just a way of abstaining from evil. It's talking about doing good in that time. And I'm going to reread it for you. It says, verse 6, is not this the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bands of wickedness and to undo the heavy burdens and to let the oppressed go free and that thou break every yoke? Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry and that thou bring the poor that are cast out to thy house? When thou seest the naked, that thou cover him and that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh? And as I reread those words, and as I even read these last night, I was thinking of the times that we're living in now. And it's not frequently that there's such a need as it looks like we're headed for right now. People have been losing their jobs. And it seems right now like we're kind of in a downspin that's affecting so many people. You heard in Sunday school Mike talk about some of the struggles. I have many friends that are in construction or in service work, like our friends here that are electricians. They've been down to like only 3 days a week of work part of the time because they have their own business. Some don't have any work at all. And they talked about some of their friends that are trying to put out
what Jerry had reported happened in the last few weeks just happened, so they'll dial back in very shortly and rejoin us, and you'll continue on.
I'm back. Benny, what was the last thing I said that you heard?
You were talking about more or less the breaking of every yoke and something that was you remembered from childhood.
Okay.
Johnny, specifically you were talking about people that were really cutting back because of the economy right now.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you, Johnny.
In Mike's current trial.
Yeah. And there are many having these same current trials, and I believe that the availability of reaching out, as it says here, actually where you might need to help feed somebody, you might need to help clothe them, I believe in our future is getting much more available. That I think that people are entering into a time of need right now where we really do need to be there for them. I have to say, too, that it may be you. And ask that if it is you at some point, that you be willing to ask, that you reach out to us, or reach out and ask. But this is the fast that he has asked of us. To break every yoke, to deal thy bread to the hungry, to bring the poor that are cast out to thy house. When thou seest the naked, that thou cover him, and that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh. And that last phrase, I think, can be a little confusing. I don't believe that you're supposed to clothe the naked to the point that you go naked. I don't think that's what it's saying. It's saying that don't be hidden in these hard times. Be available. Don't hide. So, thinking about these things, and a fast is engaging in God's work, in meeting the needs of the people around you. Let me go ahead now and read, starting with the 8th verse. This again is in Isaiah 58. If you do these things, it says, then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thine health shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee, and the glory of the Lord shall be thy rearward. Then shall ye call, and the Lord shall answer. Thou shalt cry, and he shall say, here am I. If thou shalt take away from the midst of thee the yoke, and the putting forth of the finger, and the speaking vanity, and if thou draw out thy soul to the hungry, and satisfy the afflicted soul, then shall thy light rise in obscurity, and thy darkness be as the noonday. And the Lord shall guide thee continually, and satisfy thy soul in drought, and make fat thy bones, and thou shalt be like a water whose waters fail not. Thou shalt be like a spring of water whose waters fail not. And thou shalt be of, and they that shall be of thee shall build the old waste places. Thou shalt raise up the foundations of many generations, and thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of the paths to dwell in. And if thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day, and give the Sabbath, and call the Sabbath a delight, and the holy of the Lord honorable, and shalt honor him, not doing thine own pleasure, not doing thine own ways, nor finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words, then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord, and I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth, and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. And I'll leave off reading there in Isaiah at this point, and I'm going to turn over to Philippians. And as I do, I would just say that I hope that as you hear these words, and I hope you'll go back and read them again. That was in Isaiah, the 58th chapter, verses 6 through 14. I hope that it excites you, that it might even draw you to action, to begin to ask God for the things that are on your heart. Now let me turn to Philippians, the second chapter. And first I'm just going to read the 13th verse. It says, "For it is God who worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure." And what we're talking about right now is aligning with his pleasure, with God's pleasure. Now I'm going to jump back here, and I'm going to start reading with the first verse. It says, If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye may be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. I think it's always interesting. We have a young man who picked out a song to open the service, and the name of that song was "Love Lifted Me." And I think that this is actually part of it. Fulfill ye my joy, that ye may be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind. Let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let his mind be in you, which was also in Jesus Christ, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of man. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in earth, of things in heaven, and of things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not always in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work in your own salvation with... I'm going to reread the 12th verse. Wherefore, my beloved, As ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputations, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of crooked and perverse nations, among whom ye shine as a light in the world. And I believe that, you know, it's referring even back as in Isaiah 58, that this is what you'll be to the world. You'll be a light of the world if you have a like mind with God. And it's asking and letting him do that work in you, that you align with his will. Now I want to turn over to
in the Book of Mormon. Thank you. I'm turning to 3 Nephi, chapter 9. It's on page 654 in my Book of Mormon, if that's how. Just to kind of set the scene, in a way it's kind of starting in the middle of the story. Jesus has visited the people here on this land. He's taught them. He's performed miracles. And after he had spent the day with in this manner, he literally stepped into a cloud and ascended into heaven and saying that he was going to come back the next day. And so let me start reading with the first verse, chapter 9 of the third book of Nephi, if you'll follow with me. It says, "And now it came to pass that when Jesus had ascended into heaven, the multitude did disperse. And every man did take his wife and his child and his children, and did return to his own home. And it was noised abroad among the people immediately, before it was yet dark, that the multitude had seen Jesus, and that he had ministered unto them, and that he would also shew himself on the morrow unto the multitude. Yea, and even all that night it was noised abroad concerning Jesus, and insomuch did they send forth unto to the people, that there were many, yea, an exceeding great number, did labor exceedingly all that night, that they might be on the morrow in the place which Jesus should shew himself unto the multitude." I've read that before and thought about that situation, about finding out that Jesus was literally going to be there the next morning, and you want to share that with your friends, and you spread that news, and you do everything you can to have all your family together and to be there that next morning, to where Jesus was literally going to descend back down to the earth and minister to you. And I've actually compared it to going to church. What would it be like to approach church in that way? That such an important thing to be there for the ministering of the Holy Spirit, to be there for the ministering of God, to be able to behold with your own eyes and to feel with your own heart and hear with your own ears his news and his will. Because I believe that is what church is about, and it's part of our privilege. And so these people had worked through the night, many of them all night long through the night, to be where Jesus was going to come the next morning. And it came to pass that on the morrow, when the multitude had gathered together, behold, Nephi and his brother, whom he had raised from the dead, whose name was Timothy, and also his son, whose name was Jonas, and also Mathoni and Mathonaha, his brother, and Cumen and Cumunahai, and Jeremiah, and Shemnon, and Jonas, and Zedekiah, and Isaiah. Now these were the names of the disciples whom Jesus had chosen. And it came to pass that they went forth and stood in the midst of the multitude. And behold, the multitude was so great that they did cause that they should be separated into 12 bodies. And the 12 did each teach the multitude. Behold, they did cause that the multitude should kneel down upon the face of the earth and should pray unto the Father in the name of Jesus. And the disciples did pray unto the Father also in the name of Jesus. And it came to pass that they arose and ministered unto the people,
And when they had ministered those same words which Jesus had spoken, nothing varying from the words which Jesus had spoken, behold, they knelt down and prayed to the Father in the name of Jesus, and they did pray for that which they most desired. And they desired that the Holy Ghost should be given unto them. And when they had thus prayed, they went down into the water's edge, and the multitude followed them. And it came to pass that Nephi went down into the water and was baptized. And he came up out of the water and began to baptize, and he baptized all they whom Jesus had chosen. And it came to pass, when they were all baptized and had come up out of the water, the Holy Ghost did fall upon them, and they were filled with the Holy Ghost and with fire. And behold, they were encircled about as if it were fire. And it came down from heaven, and the multitude did witness it and do bear record. And the angels did come down out of heaven and did minister unto them. And it came to pass, as I read this, those words echo in my ear, that God has never changed. That our privileges, our blessings before Him are the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I can't help but marvel in my heart and get excited about the possibilities as I read what happened here and realize that this amount of blessing is open to us today the same as in time of old. And it continues to be a possibility, a privilege in our lives. And behold, they were encircled about as if it were fire. And it came down from heaven, and the multitude did witness it and do bear record. And angels did come down out of heaven and did minister unto them. And it came to pass that while the angels were ministering unto the disciples, behold, Jesus came and stood in the midst and ministered unto them. And it came to pass that he spake unto the multitude and commanded them that they should kneel down again upon the earth, and also that his disciples should kneel down upon the earth. It came to pass that when they had all knelt down upon the earth, he commanded his disciples that they should pray. And behold, they began to pray, and they did pray unto Jesus, calling him their Lord and their God. And it came to pass that Jesus departed out of the midst of them, and went a little way off from them, and bowed himself to the earth. And he saith, Father, I thank thee that thou hast given the Holy Ghost to these, unto these whom I have chosen. And it is because of their belief in me that I have chosen them out of the world. Father, I pray thee that thou wilt give the Holy Ghost unto all them that shall believe in their words. Father, thou hast given them the Holy Ghost because they believe in me. And thou seest that they believe in me because thou hearest them. And they pray unto me, and they pray unto me because I am with them. And now, Father, I pray unto thee, and also for they which shall believe on their words, that they may believe in me, and that I may be in them, as thou, Father, art in me, that we may be one. And it came to pass that when Jesus had thus prayed unto the Father, he came unto his disciples, and behold, they did continue without ceasing to pray unto him, and they did not multiply many words, for it was given unto them what they should pray, and they were filled with desire. It came to pass that Jesus beheld them as they did pray unto him, and his countenance did smile upon them, and the light of his countenance did shine upon them, and behold, they were as white as the countenance, and also the garments of Jesus. Behold, the whiteness thereof did exceed all the whiteness, yea, even there could be nothing upon earth so white as the whiteness thereof. And Jesus saith unto them, Pray on. Nevertheless, they did not cease to pray. And he turned from them again, and he went a little way off and bowed himself to the earth. And he prayed again unto the Father, saying, Father, I thank thee that thou hast purified these which I have chosen because of their faith. And I pray for them, and also for them which shall believe on their words, that they may be purified in me through faith on their words, even as they are purified in me. Father, I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me out of the world because of their faith, that they may be purified in me, that I may be in them as thou, Father, art in me, and we may be one, that I may be glorified in them. And it came to pass that when Jesus had spoken these words, he came again to his disciples. Behold, they did pray steadfastly without ceasing unto him. And he did smile upon them again. Behold, they were white, even as Jesus. And it came to pass that he went again a little way off and prayed unto the Father, and tongue cannot speak the words which he prayed. Neither can be written by men the words which he prayed. And the multitude did hear and do bear record. And their hearts were open, and they did understand in their hearts the words which he prayed. Nevertheless, so great and marvelous were the words which he prayed that they cannot be written, neither can they be uttered by man. And it came to pass that when Jesus had made an end of praying, he came again to his disciples and saith unto them, So great faith have I never seen among all the Jews. Wherefore, I could not shew unto them so great miracles because of their unbelief. Verily I say unto you, there are none of them that have seen so great things as ye have seen, neither have they heard so great things as ye have heard. One of the things you've heard throughout this reading is the word belief and the words unbelief. And there's a great difference. And I was saying to you, take courage. Feast, ask, pray to know the privileges of those who are believers. Align with God's will. Align with God's pleasure. It talked about in Isaiah that when you do his will and you seek him, he says, here am I. And he causes your light to shine forth like the noonday. And it says that you begin to take delight in him. You put the world aside and you depart from all of your busyness on the Sabbath, doing your own pleasure. And it doesn't say you're left without pleasure. It says that you will delight in him. So I want to inspire you today. I'd like for you to read these readings on your own. Consider the things that might trouble you, the questions that you have in your heart. Consider that the Lord is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that if you seek him out, you can get your answers. Get the answers to those questions. One of the things that I found when I have sought the Lord, and I've sought his pleasure, is that the more I become aligned with him, sometimes that actually was the answer. I had drifted. And as I seek him, and as I find him and try to align with his will, it actually answers my questions that were in my heart before I even ask. And so, let me remind you of our privileges as children of God. that we not have to live so far beneath these privileges, that we become aligned with His pleasure, and that our hearts are full of pleasure with Him. I ask God's blessing on each of you. Thanks for the prayers. I'm sorry for the interruption when our line dropped off. I'd hoped that wouldn't happen today. But I ask God's blessing on each of you, and I thank each of you so much for the privilege of getting to meet with you. God bless you, and I'll turn it over to you, Benny.